It's good to see everyone this morning. Always an honor and a privilege to come and to sit and dwell in his presence. And it's always an honor and a privilege just to give him the glory and honor that he so deserves. And it's like you can't give him enough. And in all truth, we can't give him enough. There's nothing we can do that can to meet our expectation. But all he wants is just for us to be just to humble, be obedient, and just to love him and keep his commands to the fullest with everything that is in us. Try our hardest anyway. That's the least we can do, is just try our hardest to keep him. And it's just, he's so incredible. He loves us so much, and I'm so thankful. Who enjoyed last night? Listen, last night was challenging. That Torah teaching last night was very challenging. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, by all, please get it. Listen, it was free. Especially the whole thing, because it was, if you're looking for marriage counseling, he threw that in there last night. It was free, no charge. You wish. You only could wish you had this when you first got married. When you first got married. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, man, so thankful that what was brought last night was challenging to me. And it was. Because I left out of here and didn't even talk to nobody. But Scott tried to talk to him, and I said, I'm keeping my mouth shut. And I left. Listen, that's how it needs to be that challenging to you. It needs to challenge you. That's what the Torah does. It lets you know how short you really are in your coming. It'll let you know, look, you've been missing this for a long time. But look, he's so mindful of us. What we do with it from last night to the rest of our lives, that's the key. That's the key to it, what you do with it from here. So listen, if you wasn't here and you're married, you want to listen to it. If you're here and you don't have your husband, look, do me a favor. Listen, we watch love stories. We watch love. We ask our husbands and wives, look, let's watch this Netflix with me. Put on this love story. Like, you know, like that's going to change your relationship sometimes. Like that's going to move them. Listen, plug this phone, your iPhone into your TV because they make the little plugins. Go get we went live and put it on. Get your popcorn. I promise you. It is life-changing. You say, well, he's not saved. Listen, you ain't got to be saved to understand that message last night. I can promise you. Has nothing. You don't have to be saved to understand it. If you want him to work on your marriage, let your husband listen to it. By all means, or your wife, or if you're thinking about getting married, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever you want to call them, let them listen to this. That's how powerful it was. It was very, very good. And it was incredible. And I loved it. I love the challenge. I love how he challenges us. And man, he's so on point. Because he was talking about how, you know, men is always ready. Ready, ready, ready. And, you know, when we was duck hunting, me, him, and Papa, we got plenty of time on our hands. So there was a little video that he said, hey, watch this. And it was comical because it was a pastor and he was preaching on that. How men is always ready. Men ain't never got to get ready. They just born like that. You know, they just ready, ready, ready. So I said, man, I got to go back and try to find this thing that he sent me. It was funny. I went and listened to it again this morning. It says, men is just like a locomotive. They just ready. They're like a generator. They always ready. They just ready, ready, ready. He says, a woman come to him and says, Pastor, my husband he has a demon. He's possessed. He wants it in the morning, the evening, night, dinner, supper. She says, even when I'm sleeping, he wakes me up. She gave somewhere like a nymphomic, I don't know, I can't even pronounce the big word that he says. He says, she says, she just wanted. He says, she has a demon, you have to pray for him. He says, I can't pray for him. I got the same demon. He was about to tell Nikki. I said, no, you can't tell Nikki. I'm about to tell it this morning. You're going to ruin it. He said, I got the same demon. I can't pray for him. Because that's just how God created man. Just to, you have to be procreative, to always, you know, that's just how you produce the seed. So it was kind of funny that I wanted that. Then Papa come. Well, early, you know, we enjoying our moment. He says, I hate to burst your bubble, but when you get 77, that don't work no more. He just killed our moment right there just a little while ago. I'm glad it was the lights was out. I'm glad the lights was out because he just ruined my moment. I told him I was going to say it too, but Papa don't care. Papa says when you used to get 77, you can say anything you want now. So that was Papa's take on it. You never ready no more. He said, not even Ethan. We got to get started, man. This is too much fun. He's so good. We're going to understanding his Torah teaching, his likes and his dislikes. He's that good to us. Amen. Stop shaking your head. I'm going to be 77 one day. Oh, man. Yes. Hallelujah. He's good to us. Amen. So here we are, Torah portion number 27. And it's Sari, and it's Hebrew for she conceived. And the Torah is Leviticus 12, 1 through 13, 59. Got me sweating a bit. Half Torah, 2 Kings 7, 3 through 20. And then the topics is a woman giving birth should undergo a process of purification, which includes immersing in a mikvah, a naturally gathered pool of water, and bringing offerings to the holy temple. All male infants are to be circumcised on the eighth day of life. To Zazaret, often mistranslated as leprosy, is a supernatural plague which can afflict people as well as garments or homes. If white or pink patches appear on a person's skin, dark pink or dark green in garments or homes, a Kohen is summoned. Judging by various signs, such as increase in size of the afflicted area, after a seven-day quarantine, the Kohen pronounces it to me, pure, impure, or tahor, pure. A person afflicted with Zazaret must dwell alone outside of the camp or city until he is healed. The afflicted area in a garment or home must be removed. If the Zazaret reoccurs, the entire garment or home must be destroyed. And I want to go just right here, because I thought about this last night. And again this morning, about the woman who bled for 12 years. Think about that. She was sick for 12 whole years. She bled. And we know that that's just today, think in today's terms, that was to really happen. It's like almost impossible. You know, you would think that at some point she would have died 12 years of this sickness that she had. But what really stuck out to me, it says, I'm going to read it, these couple of verses on that, Luke 8, 43. And a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who having spent all her livelihood on physicians. Notice, spent all her livelihoods. I thought about she was steady depositing to physicians, doctors, trying to get their thoughts, their ideas on how to help her, how to heal her, how to cleanse her. So she was steady, just everything she had, every dollar she spent, every dollar she had, putting it into a doctor. Deposit, 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 deposit. Was unable to be healed by any. Came from behind and touched the zizit of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Yeshua said, who touched me? And when all denied it, Kepha and those with him said, Master, the crowds throng you and press upon you. And you say, who touched me? It was a different kind of touch. It wasn't just a touch that somebody bumped into me. It was a touch of a withdrawal. It was no deposit, no more depositing. It was a withdrawal. Listen, there's nothing more promising than when you know you got money in the bank, when you can go to the ATM to make a withdrawal. You're not going if you know your bank account is negative. You're not going to make no withdrawal. Her bank account was negative. She didn't have no more money to deposit into doctors and physicians. She knew that the man that was walking by had all of it, all what she needed. And she knew she had to make a withdrawal. She knew it wasn't no more depositing. He was the deposit. For all of us here today, too. He was our down payment. He was our deposit. So listen, it says, who touched me? But Yeshua says, somebody did touch me. For I knew power went out from me. See that withdrawal? I knew power went out from me. It was a different kind of touch. It wasn't just, you know, bumping into me. I felt power come from me. Listen, just from his tzitzit, the hem of his garment. Some of us need to be reaching out. After last night, we need to be reaching out. Reach out and know without a shadow of a doubt. Because what he told her, he says, and the woman seeing that she was not hidden came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all people why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. In the presence of all people, she was not afraid. She was not shameful. Don't be ashamed or afraid to tell people whom you serve or whom you believe in and why you serve him and why you believe in him. He said to her, take courage, daughter. Your belief is what healed you. Not just you put it into action. It was more than that. It was more than you just coming out and grabbing it. It's you believe that when you touched, that when you reached out to grab, that's what healed you. Your belief. You walking around in sickness? We walking around sick these days? You got to believe that when you reach out to him, you're going to be healed. It takes your part to do something. It's not all. He done did his part. He done did his. He done took every stripe, every beating for my healing. Now it takes my belief. If I want to be healed, it's going to take my belief. We walking around here, you know, waiting for certain gatherings. You don't wait. You don't need to wait for a certain gathering. It didn't say they was in a Shabbat service. He was walking by in a crowd of people. It don't matter where you at. If sickness hit you when you're in this grocery store, you start praying. You start reaching out for his garments. I don't care where you at, amongst what people. She was in a crowd of people when she did it. She wasn't in her own little home. She wasn't, you know, waiting on a certain service to come up. No, there was a gathering, a crowd of people around. Plenty, buku. And she reached out. Listen, your belief is what heals you. You got to believe that his deposit that he paid, it's time for us to get some withdrawals. We need a withdrawal. We don't need no more deposits. He done did the deposit for us. He done paid the price. And that's what really stuck out to me, because it was her belief that healed her. And after all her depositing into doctors and physicians and, you know, setting up appointments to go see this and go, I just can't imagine how tiresome that must have been. How much of a toll that must have took on her life, mentally and physically. You think of it, 12 years she carried this. You think it took a toll mentally on her body? I guarantee, on her mind and her body, I guarantee you it did. For 12 years, you couldn't get healed, physically healing. I bet you mentally it tore up inside. But when she touched the hem of his garment, she got healed mentally, physically, and spiritually. Big difference, all because of belief. That, just want to touch on that right quick. So let's go down. And we stop right here. Laws about leprosy. We finished chapter 12 last night. That was a miracle on its own. The laws about leprosy. Leviticus 13:1. This one's long. Very long. And Yeshua spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab or a bright spot, and it shall become on the skin of his body like a leprous infection, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. Notice who they brought to. He's got to inspect it. The priest has to inspect it. So when we got something going on, who we bring it to? We have a high priest who's forever making intercessions for us. Like he said, you know, you can't tell if I'm wearing this long sleeve or what's going on underneath or what I have. But he does. He sees all. He knows all. We got to bring it to our high priest, let him inspect it. That's what the Torah does. The Torah is our high priest because he was the walking Torah. He was the living Torah. The Torah inspects your life. The Torah lets you know when you got a little bump that shouldn't be there and you needed a cleansing. And the priest shall look at the infection on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the infection has turned white and the infection appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous infection. And the priest shall look at him and pronounce him unclean. Who pronounces him unclean? The priest. Not the people. People wants to pronounce you unclean. You know what we call that nowadays? Judging. You're judging me. But it was the priest. It wasn't the people. The people seen it, I'm pretty sure. They seen that the man, somebody must have had something on their skin. But it wasn't their responsibility to pronounce somebody clean or unclean. It's your high priest that's going to let you know if you're clean or unclean. It's not the pastor. It's not husband, wife, not, you know, friends, family. Everybody's got an idea of what it is or what it might be. But how many know their ideas don't matter? It's his idea that matters. Matter of fact, it's not even an idea to him. He knows what it is. He don't have to think about it. He don't have to go through a book and see, you know, what's causing it or what's this or what's that. He knows what's causing it. He knows why you have it. He knows what you have to do to get rid of it. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall shut up the infected one seven days. And the priest shall look at him on the seventh day and see if the infection appears to be as it was. And the infection has not spread on the skin. Then the priest shall shut him up another 7 days. And the priest shall look at him again on the seventh day and see if the infection has darkened. And the infection has not spread on the skin. Then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is a scab. And he shall wash his garments and be clean. But if the scab spreads further over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And the priest shall look and see if the scab has spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the infection of leprosy is on a man, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall look and see if the swelling on the skin is white and it has turned the hair white and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling. It is an old leprosy of the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He does not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy shall cover all the skin of the infected one from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall look and see if the leprosy has covered all his body. He shall pronounce the infected one clean. It has all turned white. He is clean. But the day raw flesh appears on him, he is unclean. And the priest shall look at the raw flesh and pronounce him to be clean. The raw flesh is clean. It is leprosy. Or when the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall look at him and see if the infection has turned white. Then the priest shall pronounce the infected one clean. He is clean. And when the body has a boil in the skin and it is healed, and in the place of the boil where comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white, then it shall be seen by the priest. And the priest shall look and see if it appears deeper than the skin, and its hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous infection which has broken out of the spoil, out of the boil. But if the priest looks at it and sees no white hairs in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it has spread further over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous infection. But if the bright spot stays in its place, it has not spread. It is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. But when the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn shall become a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall look at it and see if the hair of the bright spot has turned white and it appears deeper than the skin. It is leprosy broken out in the burn. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous infection. But if the priest look at it and sees there are no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look at him on the seventh day. If it spreads further over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous infection. But if the bright spot stays in its place and has not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. And the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn. And when a man or a woman has an infection on the head or in the beard, then the priest shall look at the infection and see if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is thin yellow hair in it, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is an eruption, a leprosy of the head or beard. But when the priest looks at the infection of the eruption and sees that it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut up the one with the infection of the eruption 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the infection and see if the eruption has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the eruption does not appear deeper than the skin, then he shall shave himself, but the eruption he does not shave. And the priest shall shut up the one with the eruption another 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the eruption and see if the eruption has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his garments, and he shall be clean. But if the eruption spreads further over the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall look at him and see if the eruption has spread over the skin. The priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the eruption appears to have stayed, and there is black hair growing up in it, the eruption has healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. And when a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, white bright spots, then the priest shall look and see if the bright spots on the skin of the body are dull white. It is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. And when a man loses the hair of his head, he is bald. He is clean. And if the hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead. He is clean. And when there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish-white infection, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. And the priest shall look at it and see if the swelling of the infection is reddish-white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. Without fail, his infection is on his head. As for the leper who has the infection, his garments are torn, and his head is covered, and he has to cover his upper lip and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He is unclean. All the days he has the infection, he is unclean. He is unclean, and he dwells alone. His dwelling place is outside the camp. And when a garment has an infection of leprosy in it, it is a woolen garment, or in a linen garment, or in a warp, or in a weft of linen, or wool, or in leather, or in any leather work, and the infection shall be greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the leather, or in the warp, or in the weft, or in any leather object, it is an infection of leprosy, and shall be shown to the priest, and the priest shall look at the infection and shut up the infected 7 days. And he shall look at the infection on the seventh day. And when the infection has spread in the garment, or in the warp, or in the weft, or in the leather, or any leather work, the infection is an act of leprosy. It is unclean. And he shall burn that garment, or warp, or the weft, in wool or in linen, or any leather object in which the infection is, for it is an act of leprosy. it is burned with fire. But if the priest looks and sees that the infection has not spread in the garment, or in the warp, or in the weft, or in any leather object, then the priest shall give command, and they shall wash that in which the infection is, and he shall shut it up another 7 days. And the priest shall look at the infection after it has been washed and see if the infection has not changed its appearance. Though the infection has not spread, it is unclean, and burn it in fire. It is eaten away in its inside or outside. And if the priest shall look and see that the infection has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, or out of the warp, or out of the weft, or out of the leather. And if it is still seen in the garment, or in the warp, or in the weft, or in the leather object, it is a spreading infection. Burn it with fire, that in which the infection is. And if you wash the garment, or the warp, or the weft, or any leather object, if the infection has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. This is the Torah of the infection of leprosy. In a garment of wool or linen, or in a warp, or in a weft, or in any leather object, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. That was a lot. A lot. You wonder why, you know, you got to take your time with the Torah. Because you just read over that. You're reading over and you're like, well, really don't make no sense to me. You know, the priest got to look at this color, that color, if a hair is in it, if a hair is not in it. But it all ties into what Yeshua did for us. All of it. So let's break it down. Chapter 13, the Torah of the infection of leprosy. The Hebrew word that is translated as leprosy or leprous infection is zarath, Strong's H6883, which means leprosy, malignant skin disease in people, and in clothing or buildings, mildew or mold. This word is derived from the primitive root verb zara, Strong's H6879, which means to be struck with leprosy, to be leprous. This form of infection comes out in physical manifestations and is not the same specific flesh-devouring disease that bears this name today, also known as Hansen's disease, after the man who identifies its cause, but is a skin ailment that is more like psoriasis, which is a chronic disease, skin disease characterized by circumscribed red patches covered with white scales, yet it was not this either. The symptoms of leprosy were just like several normal common occurrences until they took on specific characteristics for which the priests had to watch because they were signs of something deeper. It was signs of something deeper. And look, that's what sin does. Sin is deep. Sin is deep. And if you don't start dealing with sin when it first happened, it'll start manifesting itself outwardly. It'll start showing itself. That's what this whole thing is talking about, this whole chapter 13. You got to deal with it because it's in you, but you got to bring it to your priest. Because if you don't, if you keep trying to hide it, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. And there's a slide, I'll get to it, and then I'll mention something. It may seem a little odd that the skin irritations are important in the Torah. Yet what this shows is that while the literal commands are to be followed, we also need to look at what is behind them and understand that there is more to simply adhering to the letter of the Torah, as we are to walk in spirit and truth. You know, we can put these bad boys on. We can do all these other things that we do to say that we Torah keepers. But if we're not walking in spirit and truth with it, what good is it doing us? Nothing. Wasting our time, wasting his time and wasting Yeshua's time for everything that he did for us to heal us from this stuff, all this nonsense that we do, that we keep. It says to walk in spirit and truth and show through our outward actions. I thought about being, you know, when you're being baptized. It's, you know, it's just, it's an inward showing the outward action. When you're coming up out of the mikvah. It's what you're identifying with or who you're identifying with. It says, show through our outward actions that the Torah is truly written upon our hearts. You want to tell how if the Torah is truly written upon your heart? It's not putting your zizis on in the morning and going out in the public. It's how you act in the public. That's how you want to tell if you're actually doing the Torah. Or if it's actually written upon your heart. You don't act the same. You don't talk the same. You know, he made a good statement about the flow of blood. First thing, you know, I said it many times. Oh, it must be that time of the month. That was the favorite saying. Must be that time of the month, huh, Nikki? When she's feeling, you know, a little ucky. Body's hurting. Something I shouldn't have been making a joke about. Challenging last night, I promise you. You go, oh boy. It's hard to swallow. But you don't say those things when the Torah is written upon your heart. The world does them that says those things. The world act like that. When you're led by the set apart spirit and you're doing Torah, you don't act like that. You don't say those things. Instead of the times that I wasted saying that, it should have been times that I should have been praying for her, lifting her up. I'm telling you, if you missed this, if you didn't get to hear it, you want to get the CD last night. I promise you, men. Us men. Truly written upon our hearts. This is more than just an insect bite or dry skin. And the fact that it is more than skin deep means it is more than just a surface blemish. Enough of any of these should alert us to the need to examine ourselves to make sure that it is all it is. You want to make sure that it's all it is. Examine yourself. You do the inventory of what's going on. Why I have this? First Corinthians 11:31. For if we were to examine ourselves, we would not be judged. If we were to examine ourselves, we would not be judged. If you were to examine yourself, that'll probably take a load off the pastor's back. Probably take a load off of Yeshua's back too. If you man up, or if you examine yourself, he'll tell you, though, if you want him to. He'll let you know. The Master, Yehovah, will let you know where you're shortcoming, where you need to tighten up a little bit. But he's telling you, look, you examine yourself. I'm giving you, I gave you the word. I gave you the Torah. All you got to do is look at it. I put it on your heart. Examine yourself. One would come to the priest to determine whether it came from a deeper cause. He is the only one who can diagnose it. Our high priest is the only one can diagnose it. You know, people want to run to all these doctors when things ain't going right, when they feel in some type of way. At best, they really can't diagnose it. They can give what they think it is. How many know the master knows what it is? And he can fix it a lot quicker than what they can. Because the first thing they want to do is throw you on medication. You need to take this. Your mind's playing tricks on you. Take this. Put this in your system. Then your mind is really playing tricks on you. Your body is really fighting whatever you just put into it. The high priest diagnoses it. After examining the facts, what is such a powerful picture and great lesson for us is that the entire chapter is the fact that only the priest could declare someone clean or unclean. I made that statement earlier. Only the priest. Don't matter what anybody else says. Don't matter what anybody else thoughts of why you going through this or why you going through that or you need to do this or you need to do that. No. He says, just obey my command. Follow my laws. Follow my righteous right rulings. You want to be healed? Reach out. You do something. You reach out. We just sing that song. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. I wonder how many times he's got to pass by you. Instead of you touching him, you want him to touch you. We don't want to have to do nothing. We want him to do everything. We want him to do everything. We don't want to be the one to reach out in the crowd. We can be suffering. And we ask, who needs prayer? And sometimes you're feeling the nudge to even come out your seat. Come out. But yet we don't want to move from our seat because we worry about what someone might say or think. And none of that should matter. He's in the waiting. We have to do something. We have to move. We have to reach out. We have to touch. We have to believe. He told her to take courage because her belief is what healed you. Doesn't matter. The priest was the only one. The only one can stay clean or unclean. What is worth taking note of is the use of the Hebrew word that is translated in this chapter as plague, infection, and disease, with this root word being translated into three different English words. One can often miss a vital theme that is being set forth here in this chapter. The root word that is used is the noun negeh, Strong's H5061, which means a stroke, plague, mark, affliction, infection, wound, and disease. And this comes from the primitive root word naga, Strong's H5060, and means to touch, strike, reach, cause to touch and join, and denotes that which pertains when one thing or person physically contacts another. The noun negeh, Strong's H5061, refers to a physical blow or to the punishment that a ruler gives a subject. Elohim is usually the one who metes out punishments and or disease, and here in Leviticus 13 and 14, we see the majority use of this noun. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to this. Majority use of this noun concerning the contagious diseases described. This noun is used 47 times in Leviticus 13 and 14 times in Leviticus 14. You think that this Leviticus is important? Very important. Why? Watch. That is a total of 61 times that this noun is used in the two chapters that deal with the plague or disease or infection or leprosy. It is used a total of 78 times in the Tanakh. In the whole Tanakh is only used 78 times. But 61 times in this just two chapters. The whole Tanakh means the Torah, the first five books, all of the prophets, and all of the writings. The whole, this big old side. Right here. So it's used 78 times. But 61 just in two chapters. Important, so important. With the majority of it being used in Leviticus 13, we can acknowledge and identify clear emphasis being made. With the clear lesson on that which our master took upon himself in order to redeem us. That our master took upon himself in order to redeem us. From the destruction of sin and the associated plagues, infections, and diseases that are as a result of sin. Our high priest. You think he has the right to say if I'm clean or unclean? You better believe it. Absolutely, without a doubt, he has the right to do it. Why? Because he's the one. He's the one that took all those lashes and beatings for me. In a powerful psalm of praise unto Yehovah for the complete protection and provision we have in him, we take note that those who find refuge in Yehovah have no plague come near their tent. Psalms 91:10. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. How wonderful and reassuring is that? That when I take refuge in him, none of this befalls me. No evil. No evil befalls me. No evil comes near me. No evil comes near my tent. Meaning no evil comes near my home. No evil comes near my dwelling place. We got to speak this over our home. You got chaos going on in your home? You need to speak this 91:10. Because if you find refuge in him, it shouldn't be there. We got to get to the root of the problem. Why is it there? What's going on? It's there for a reason. But if I'm taking refuge in him, he's telling me it should not be there. And it's time for me to do what? Make my withdrawal. It's time for me to make a withdrawal. It's time for me to believe that ain't going to be here no more in my home. Can't. Ain't. Let me correct my speech. Can't. Can't be here in this home no more. I just felt the heat coming from this way right here. In a clear prophecy of Messiah, the revealed arm of Yehovah, we are told how he would be stricken for our transgression. In the following verse, the root word neged, Strong's H5061, is translated as stricken. Isaiah 53:8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And as for his generation, who consider that he shall be cut off from the land of the living? For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. This is in Isaiah. This is being prophesied. That your master that's coming will be stricken for you. For your transgressions. Not for his. He never had none. But yet for me. For my transgressions. With an S. Notice. Kepha reminds us that Messiah suffered for our sins. 1 Peter 3:18. Because even Messiah once suffered for sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to Elohim. Having been put to death indeed in flesh, but made alive in spirit. Why did he do it? For me to get back in right standards with Elohim. That's why he did it. Because if he wouldn't have did it, I would be done. We would be done. There was no way that we can get back in right standards with the master, the creator of the universe. It took his son to come die for my transgressions, for our transgressions, in order that we can be brought back to Elohim. Having been set from sin, having been set from sin and destruction, we are to make sure that we stay clean as we walk in Messiah and guard to do all he commands. And we are therefore able to learn from this chapter on the Torah of leprosy that we are to come out and touch not that which is unclean. We are to make sure that we stay clean. We have a job to do. He done did his part. What we do with it. It's just like the Torah that was brought forth last night. He done did his part. He brought it to our attention. Now what we do with it after that? Are we going to continue to walk in the silly comments when our wives are going through it? Or are we going to be praying for them now from this day forth when they're going through it? Lifting them up for what their body is dealing with. Walking in Messiah and to guard all his commands. Isaiah 52:11. Turn aside. Turn aside. Come out from there. Touch not the clean. Come out of her midst. Be clean. You who bear the vessels of Yehovah. You who bear the... Listen, come out from among them. He's calling us. Don't participate in their festivals. Don't do what they do. Don't sing the songs they sing. Don't worship on the day that they worship. Don't keep day holidays. That's what he's telling us. Come out from among them. You turn aside from that. You don't touch that. That's unclean to him. You don't eat what they eat. That's unclean to him. You can't do that. And sometimes, and when chaos is going in our homes, I would check all these boxes. Make sure. Make sure that you're doing all this. You start checking up, checking off the boxes and see where you're lacking at. It's going to let you know. If you can't get rid of some type of sickness, you done spent all your money depositing in doctors, and they still can't figure out what's wrong with you. Get in the Torah. Start seeing. Okay, I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. I'm doing this. I'm not doing this. It'll let you know. It'll let you know. Why? It says, who bear the vessels of Yehovah? Your body is a living vessel of Yehovah. This is your vessel. This is your temple. This is your dwelling. We can talk about the physical home all we want, but what about the spiritual? What about that? What about why you're going around the mountain again? The root word naga, Strong's 850-60, is translated here as touch. And the Greek word used in the Septuagint is haptamhi. Strong's G680, which means touch, fasting, oneself to, and cling, and is used to describe the practice of having no fellowship with pagan practices. As we see the clear command given in 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from among them and be separate. Says who? Says Yehovah. If he says it, if he's the one speaking, if he's saying it, you think he means it? Is this a suggestion to him? No. He's commanding you. If he's telling you, he's commanding you, come out from among them, says Yehovah. Come out and be separate. How many know what separate means? Separate means you're not doing what they're doing. Separate means you look odd. You look different. You feel different. You act different. You talk different. You eat different. You don't even praise the same. Your praise is a little different when you set apart. Your prayers is a little different. I should say a lot, not even a little, it's a lot. All those things are a lot different. Says Jehovah, and do not touch what is clean. Unclean, I'm sorry. Do not touch what is unclean. Why? And I shall receive you. Oh boy, I love that. You don't touch what is unclean, I shall receive you. What he's saying, if you touch what is unclean, he ain't receiving you. Says Jehovah. Well, I guess I kind of added that. Basically, is what he's saying, if you touch it, he's not going to receive you. The temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? If you unevenly yoke, what does that mean? Are you gonna be pulling the same way? If you're plowing together, if you got two animals that's unevenly yoked, are they pulling in the same direction? Are they doing the same thing? No, they're doing totally opposite of each other. One want to go one way, one want to go the other way. What he's telling us, don't get yoked up with someone that's not set apart. Don't get unyoked with an unbeliever. Separate yourself from them. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? And what agreement has Messiah with Belial? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? What part? You're not going to agree on anything. Go in partnership with an unbeliever and see how well that's going to work. He won't work on Saturdays. He won't work on Shabbat. You are set apart. You know not to work on Shabbat. He won't celebrate certain holidays. You know you can't celebrate those certain holidays. Listen, you cannot be in partnership with an unbeliever. It will not work. Your partnership will fall apart. For those that's thinking about getting married, not married yet, there's probably only one in here. Make sure you in a partnership with a believer, a set apart believer. Don't jump into a relationship with somebody that's not on as a believer as what you believe. Will not work. Now, can he do something in that person's life? There's no way possible I can sit here and say he can't. Because he can. There's nothing too short. His arm is not too short for no one or anybody. But just be careful. Verse 16. And what union has the dwelling place of Elohim with idols? For you are a dwelling place of the living Elohim. As Elohim has said, I shall dwell in them and walk among them, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. Again, who? Says Jehovah. And do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says Jehovah the Almighty. The Almighty. I love how he threw that at the end. I am Jehovah, the Almighty. Just in case you didn't know. The Greek word translated as not is me, Strong's G3361, which is a primary participle of a qualified negation, meaning not, no, neither, and none. The reason I am highlighting these words and its uses in various verses is to simply point out the wonderful work that our Master and Redeemer has done for us, as he was stricken for our transgressions, cleansing us from that which defiles, and now we are to make sure that we do not touch that which does not pertain to complete set apartness. We ought to make sure. He gave us all instructions of what we can touch and what we can't touch, of what we can participate in and what we can't participate in. He's not forcing you to do it. He's suggesting that he's telling you shouldn't do it. If you want me to receive you, you don't do it. If you want me to be a father to you, you don't do it. He says, but you have to make sure you don't touch those things. You have to make sure you're not doing those things. 1 John 5:18. We know that everyone having been born of Elohim does not sin. But the one having been born of Elohim guards himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. In verse 2 and 3, we see that the language used to describe the progression of leprosy, in fact, shows us how sin and lawlessness, too, can progress from something seemingly small and insignificant to a fully blown outburst of wickedness and bad fruit. Now, when I read this, I just sat for a moment and thought about it, because I witnessed this myself in my own life. I can remember the first little smearing off alcohol beverage, working. I'll never forget it. Working at PMI, hanging with the fellas. And I come home with it. And you know, these little fruity things. You taste a little pineapple flavor and all that. You know, it was good. My mother said, that's a bad choice. I was like, that's just one beer after work. What can happen? Outbursts of wickedness and bad fruit. Exactly happened. Guess what? That one little smoothie, fruity alcohol beverage turned into a little puff-puff. Then the puff-puff turned into a pill. And then another pill. And the pills wasn't enough. Then next thing you know, here comes the hard stuff. You want to do a little coke. From an alcohol drink. One little smoothie, little smearing. I can remember, I'm telling you, as plain as day, sitting by my house when we lived across the street. That's a bad choice. That one little beer ain't gonna turn into that. Outburst of wickedness and bad fruit. That's what it produced in my life. I'm telling you, I sat and I thought about this because it hit home, because it was the truth. It's exactly what happened. If I had not dealt with the one little alcohol thing, I would have saved myself a whole lot of trouble. A whole lot of heartache. Not talking about almost lost my family behind the nonsense. One beer in the evening time. That's how it started. After work. One. One. Brought all those other things in my life. Every last one that I just named to you. Outburst. Bad fruit. That's exactly what happened. You think this is serious? Absolutely. That's why when sin happens, you deal with it right then and there. I don't care. Sin is sin. There's no small sin, great sin. Sin is sin. You deal with it. Because if you don't, the outburst is coming, I promise you. You just wait for it. Wait for it. Because it's coming if you don't deal with it. The lesson on leprosy is that it represents for us the sin of the flesh and how unseen sin or undealt with sin progress to bear fruit that is ugly and spoiled. Spoiled. I said it was a word too, Pastor, but somebody was correcting me before I even got up here. Let me tell you, I found this and it's spoiled, not spoiled. I said, okay, bro, I'm going to say spoiled, brother. I'm not going to say spoiled. It's ugly and spoiled. The progression of sin not brought to the priest for inspection and dealt with Can progress and seen as seen in the pattern of the following verses. Listen, that's why as soon as it happened, you bring it to your high priest. Listen, it says you can boldly go before the throne. The scriptures tell you, you can boldly go. Don't be ashamed. Listen, we're not excluded from coming up short in our life. It's going to happen. You don't want it to happen, but it does. It's, listen, especially the way we teach in the Torah now. We realize that we got more junk in our trunk than a little bit. Seriously. You got more stuff in you than you realize. I had, especially after last night, I had no idea I was in error. I thought I was just making a funny. Why? Because the world's making funnies. But that was nonsense. I shouldn't have been doing that. I shouldn't have been saying that. That's why you bring it to your high priest. Don't let that get in your mind that you can't. Listen, it's not if you sin, it's when you sin. You're gonna sin. But don't let it linger around. You deal with it. You bring it to him immediately. Because you don't want that full-blown outburst. You don't want that. Trust me. Save yourself a lot of trouble. Listen to me. Bring it to him immediately. Every thought, every word that you know you shouldn't have said when you said it is gone. You can't grab it and bring it back. It's done. It's over with. But repent from it and ask him to help you not to say those things no more. You deal with it immediately. Don't wait. Please don't wait. Number one, verse two, the beginning. A scab or a bright spot. Isaiah 3:16-17. And Yehovah says, because the daughter of Zion's are hardy and walk with outstretched necks and seductive eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with her feet. Therefore, Yehovah shall smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Yehovah exposes their nakedness. If you don't deal with it, he's going to deal with it for you. And listen, the daughter of Zion is the church, us. We walking around here all pretty, batting our eyes, smelling ourselves. He's going to expose that. Number two, verse seven, advancement. If you don't deal with it in the beginning, here comes the advancement. Scab spreads all over the skin. Isaiah 1:5-6. Why should you be beaten anymore? You continue in apostasy. All the head is sick. And all the heart faints. From the sole of the foot to the head, there is no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises and open sores, they have not been closed or bound up or soothed with an ointment. They have not been bound up. You didn't take care, you didn't address it in the beginning. So now it's done advanced. Now you're in the outburst stage. It's all over you. You can't shake it. You can't get rid of it. Notice, you can't. You can try all you want. Can't explain to you. Can't stress to you how many times I tried to fix me. Didn't work. Didn't work. Listen, you're going to wear yourself slap out trying to fix you. You can't fix you. It takes him to fix you and only him to fix you. And until I realized that, I was just going around the mountain over and over and over and over. Until I realized I'm done. I can't fix me. But I know the one who can. And when I came, that life changed. Never been the same since. Never been the same since. That's what he does for you. Life changing. Number 3, verse 10. Full outburst. Raw flesh in a swelling. A picture of hatred setting in. You mad at everybody. Somehow it's their fault. Somehow it's their fault. They're the one who introduced you to the little alcohol. They're the one that introduced you to the little marijuana. Or this pill or that pill. It's their fault. You hate everybody. You definitely hate the people in the church. Oh. They getting the blame first. The drug dealer, he's not getting the blame at all. At all. You ain't getting the blame. You ain't blaming yourself first. You the one who bought everything. How about you blame you? No, but you mad at the world. Especially the pastor if he ain't come check on you. Amos 5:10. They hated the one who reproves in the gate. And they despised the one who speaks the truth. Because if the pastor comes see you, then you're really mad at him. Just what Amos says. You despise the one who speaks the truth. We think he is. Trying to tell me what to do. Trying to tell me I need to shape up. Amos says you despise the one who speaks the truth. You reprove. And then they hated the one who reproves in the gate. Can I also tell you? You hate the one who speaks the truth. So you know who else you hate? You're not hating him. You hating the God of him that he serves. He's not speaking his truth. He's speaking Jehovah's truth. That's who you hate. When it all comes down to it, at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, when the dust is settled, that's who you hate. You don't hate nobody else but him. Because he's the one that's reproving you in the gate. Number 4, verse 24. Inflamed state. Burns and burning. Be consumed with his love and respond with obedience and joy, or stay in a disobedient state and be consumed in his wrath. One or the other. You ain't got many choices. You got two. You're going to either obey or you're going to disobey. You're going to burn in his love or you're going to burn in his wrath. Isaiah 3:24. And it shall be, instead of a sweet fragrance, a smell of decay. And instead of a belt, a rope. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a festal robe, a girding of sackcloth. And branding instead of loveliness. And instead of branding, and branding instead of loveliness. Think about it. Obedience, disobedience. And it's amazing how we can see all this and still choose disobedience. Mind-blowing to me. Now that I think about it, now that I know a little more, now that I have a little more knowledge, I still had enough back then to make the right choice. Can't blame it on that I didn't have it. I still knew right and wrong. It's been here the whole time. It's nothing new under the sun. He just didn't make this thing up now. It's been here the whole time. But yet I still chose disobedience. How crazy and stupid that was. Inflammations can picture for us certain mind games through slander or gossip, which can certainly contaminate us and cause us to become unclean and defiled. through slander or gossip. You thinking about, you know, that I'm not coming on Shabbat, I'm not keeping Shabbat like I should, or I'm not keeping the feast days that you being defiled, or you, you know, doing things not Bible ways, but worldly ways. Maybe putting on this little music, that little music. You think that's the only thing that's defiling you? Watch when you're talking about the brother or sister. Because he says that's unclean and defiles you also. See what the Torah does? The little things. Some think you would think this is nothing much. It's still unclean and it's still defiled. Don't matter. Still the same. You know, we want to categorize, however you say that word, sin. You know, somehow that his sin is bigger than my sin, or my sin is lesser than his sin. No, it's all the same. If you're doing everything that you should, that you think you should according to the Torah, but yet you gossiping, you're still being unclean and defiled. I don't care what category you want to. There's only one category. It's three letters. Sin. Let me help you out. It's not just sin 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10. It's sin. All in one category. Burns cause inflamed flesh. And so we see this as a picture of anger, which can often cause one's face to become red and inflamed with rage. James, Yaakov 1, 14 through 22. But each one is enticed when he is drawn away by his own desires and trapped. Your own desires is what draws you away. Then, when desired has conceived, it gives birth to sin. What are we talking about? She conceived. When your desire has conceived, is giving birth to sin. And sin, when it has been accomplished, brings forth death. Do not go astray, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change and no shadow of turning. Having purposed it, he brought us forth by the word of truth, for us to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brothers, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Elohim. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Elohim. When somebody do you something, when somebody's in your parking spot, or when somebody is, I don't know, fishing in your spot, and your wrath wants to well up inside you, think about this. You're not producing the righteousness of Elohim. Be slow to speak. Why are you in my spot? Be slow to speak. Oh, Pastor Shrug, something. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Elohim. Therefore, put away all filthiness and overflow of evil, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your life. Listen, if it's able to save your life, what you think is able to do to the person that you just got getting angry with? Listen, you don't need them. They don't need you to tell you. They don't need you to tell them if they did you wrong. They know they did you wrong. People know. If you ever wrong somebody, you know you did wrong. You don't need nobody to come tell you, hey, man, you just did me wrong. Every time I did somebody wrong, I know I did wrong. Why? Because it was out of my mischievous mind. I wanted to. Yeah, I did. Absolutely. How sad is that? But listen, as a believer, you let them. Let them. How you act is what makes the difference in their lives. They know you did you wrong and you still love them and you still treat them with kindness. You still tell them good morning or have a good day. That's producing the righteousness of Elohim. Not why you did that to me or why you doing this or why you doing that. If it's able to save your life, it's definitely able to save theirs. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. That's what we should be in the business of anyway. Of leading them to the Father. You can't save their life anyway, first of all. It takes him to save their life, but you can lead them in the direction. You can give them the implanted word. You can implant some word in their life. Instead of implanting your word, implant his word. But no, we want to be quick to implant our word. We want to tell them what we think. What's on my mind. The Torah is written in your heart. If you meditating on it day and night, you're going to give them his word, not yours. And become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For if we find ourselves slacking in our doing of the word, a scab of infection of sin may appear, which, when left alone, could entice one into following one's own desire rather than seeking the well-pleasing desire of Elohim. And as a result, give birth to much lawlessness. I'm telling you, that outburst is coming. If you don't deal with it right then and there, it is coming. And it's coming with a vengeance. It's not going to tiptoe. It's not going to take nothing lightly. It's coming with a vengeance. If not dealt with and brought to the priest, and by that I mean our high priest Yeshua, then we risk the reality of what sin brings forth, and that is death. Why risk that? Listen, you know it's coming. You know what the outcome is it's going to be. Why risk it? Because it's just, that's our desire. It's our flesh. It's what the flesh wants. That's why we gotta crucify that flesh every single day. Every single day of our life. In the above text, in Yaakov, James 1:14-22, we are clearly told to be slow to become angry, for anger doesn't work righteousness. And while we may not always be excused from getting angry, notice, you're not excused from it. It's going to come. It's going to happen. We're human. But don't take that lightly and say, oh, well, I'm human. So, you know, when the anger arises, I can lash out. No, that's not what I'm saying. You don't take that lightly and say, oh, I'm just human. No, it's going to happen. You're going to get angry. Somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. It's called life. You deal with it. Yeshua dealt with it. He got rubbed the wrong way his whole ministry. His disciples rubbed him the wrong way. Think about that. The one he handpicked rubbed him the wrong way. And how he dealt with it? With love. Why? Because he produced the righteousness of Elohim. He knew anything else wouldn't have produced the righteousness of Elohim. And he knew that if he got out of character in any kind of way, he was our only hope. He knew the whole world's life depended on him in making his right choices, his right decisions. Can I tell you that family members, friends, co-workers depends on your decisions? You say, well, I don't want that. Well, you have it. It's not if you want it. You're a believer. You set apart. You have it. It's yours. We got to deal with it. You ain't got to put it in. I'm going to stop right here. Got the new CD. And while we may not always be excused from getting angry, we are to do our utmost to not do so quickly. And if one does not, if one does get angry, or whatever reason, for whatever reason, then sort it out quickly, lest your anger turns you away from walking in righteousness. What it says, how you deal with it? Quickly. Quickly. Because you don't want your anger to turn you into turn you from righteousness. And it will if we don't deal with it quickly. And find yourself becoming defiled through regretful actions or words that need to be repented of. Regretful action or words that need to be repented of. Because the outburst is coming if you don't deal with it. Right here. I'm going to stop right here. Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be wroth. What it's telling you, be wroth means you're going to be angry. You're going to get angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your rage, nor give place to the devil. Because let me tell you, you go to bed with it on your mind, and there he is waiting. Oh, yeah, I got you now, buddy boy. You think you going to sleep just somehow going to make this disappear? No, that thought is in you. It's implanted in you if you ain't dealing with it right then and there and you're giving way to him. You went to bed mad. Guess what? Guess how you woke up? More madder. More madder. Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He's good to us. Amen. I had to end with more madder. I've been watching my pronunciations the whole time I was up. I think that's why I sweat so much. Because I worry about what my words going to sound like. But I'm just going to add it with more matter. You more matter when you go to bed. You deal with it right then. You don't give place to the devil. Amen? He's good to it. Let's stand.